tuned in to the Andrew Lawton Show.
Chrystia Freeland, perhaps not actually a supporter of press freedom. The reason I wanted to revisit this, Ezra Levant has announced that they are suing not just Freeland, but also the RCMP and York Regional Police for this. I know they're still working out the details on exactly why, but Ezra joins me now. Ezra, I mean, this is something that you've basically had to just contend with David Menzies. And I know that there are a lot of people when the Conservatives have spoken up in support of David, as they did yesterday, that have said, oh, well, hang on, they were the ones who not that long ago were kicking him out and calling the police. But I don't think that's, you know, an accusation of hypocrisy. I think if anything, it's to say that they realize that that is not what politicians should be doing. And I was critical when that happened, as I know you were. So that being said, the media is not offering any support right now.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised by that. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I would study legal cases where the media, all the different rivals, all the different competitors, would each chip in a couple of thousand dollars to hire a lawyer together to fight every free speech, freedom of the press case in Canada. So CTV, Global, CBC, Toronto Star, Globe and Mail, they would each chip in a few grand, and they would hire an excellent lawyer who would go to court on any free speech matter and say, Your Honor, I'm here on behalf of basically every journalist in the country.
Yeah, you see that with publication bans right now, still to some extent.
That's right. So that's the one place you see it. But I have not seen it for general free speech cases in 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So what happened to David Menzies yesterday, and we've all seen the video, 14 million people have seen the video in about 36 hours, by the way. We see that David had clean hands. He didn't push anyone. He didn't threaten anyone. He didn't swear at anyone. He didn't assault anyone. And we all saw the worst. That was astonishing that he was arrested. But we all saw how the cop pushed him, sticking out his arm, getting in his way and say, you're under arrest. He's a plainclothes cop who didn't identify himself, by the way. And so we all saw how the police immediately lied about it and tried to gaslight David, saying, oh, you were aggressive. You were pushing people around. Pack of lies. I get the feeling that these bodyguards for Trudeau and Freeland do this all the time. This is just the first time it was caught on tape. So normally, I mean, if this were a CBC reporter that Doug Ford did this to, or Danielle Smith did this to, or back in the day, Stephen Harper did this to, you might well see that consortium of media companies hiring a lawyer together, and you would see a national condemnation of this. But no, it's David Menzies of Rebel News. And actually, by the way, he's the only person in our company with a journalism degree. So we're all citizen journalists here, but he's actually the most credentialed of us, and he was doing real journalism. And it's astonishing to me to watch the CBC denigrate him. They won't, the CBC won't even call him a journalist. They won't even call him a reporter. Their website calls him a media personality. I'm not too sad about that, because the CBC won't call Hamas terrorists, and the CBC doesn't know the answer to what is a woman.
So, well, and their people also lack personality, so it might actually be a compliment.
Yeah, but anyway, my point is, I yesterday I checked the Twitter feeds of all the so-called free speech groups: Canadian Association of Journalists, Canadian Journalists for Free Expression, Amnesty International, PEN Canada, Canadian Civil Liberties Association, the Council for the Protection of Journalists. About six different groups, not one of them had anything to say. And I think it's because Trudeau has successfully colonized the media. And most of those groups I just referred to are too busy applying for grants from Trudeau and Freeland to upset them. Anyways, we're going to take things into that's a very long way of saying we can't rely on anyone to help us. No one's coming to help us. So we have to help ourselves. So I have spoken to Sarah Miller, who I know has been a guest on your show before. Mm-hmm. That's the excellent young lawyer who managed to get Pastor Arthur Pavlovsky his successful appeal at the Court of Appeal in Alberta. She's agreed to take on this case. Now, we're still formalizing the lawsuit, but I would imagine it would encompass false arrest, false imprisonment, malicious prosecution, negligent investigation, assault, and charter violations, violating David's freedom of the press. And by the way, I'm not the only person who's worried about this. I see the RCMP has claimed that they are reviewing the incident. Now, the CBC will, I can tell you in advance, they're going to whitewash it. But I'm not going to let them go so easily. They abused, lied, arrested, detained, assaulted David Menzies and said, whoopsie, my bad, you can go now. All right, we can go now, but they can't go now. Now we're going to take this before court. And one of the things I'm going to ask Sarah as we prepare the lawsuit is, do we want a jury trial? I don't know the answer to that right now, but I want the world. Listen, 14 million people saw that video and were disgusted by it. I want a judge to see that, maybe a jury to see that. And I want David Menzies to get a win. And I want to set a precedent. And I want to send a warning. Because this is not the first time Trudeau's thugs have beat up David. And it's not the first time Chrystia Freeland's thugs have assaulted our people, too. One of her staffer assaulted our videographer, Lincoln Jay. So if we don't stand up to these bullies, it's going to keep happening. And sometimes people say, Ezra, you're too litigious. My first answer to that is they violated our rights. It's my right to go to court. Second of all, sometimes we win. Like when we fought to get access to the election debates, and I know you were part of that fight in 2019. And sometimes you just need a small precedent for a win. When Stephen Guilbeault blocked us on Twitter, oh, that's a trivial matter. Well, no, not really, because it's a government department blocking us from getting government information. We sued in federal court and we won. These are all little wins, and I wish more people were doing it. I tip my hat to the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms and the Canadian Constitution Foundation, but we need more civil liberties litigation.
No, absolutely. And one of the big things that we see in this, and I mentioned our little mini solidarity that we saw at the Global Conference for Media Freedom a couple of years ago. But, you know, that event was very interesting because you were there as well for a part of it. But I don't know, how far away was it? Maybe 20 kilometers away from that conference, Tommy Robinson was appearing in court at the Old Bailey. And I can't remember which appearance it was at that point, but I believe it was a decision about whether he was going to jail or a decision about whether he was at risk of going to jail, whatever it was at the day. And I recall talking to one of the journalism advocates at this group. I think she was with Reporters Without Borders. And, you know, she's, oh, yes, press freedom. Journalists are being targeted. And you mentioned Tommy Robinson. And just instantly the color drains from the face. Well, he's not a journalist. And they had the same approach to Julian Assange. They had this. And look, I'm all for debating the tactics, the ethics, the merits of a Tommy Robinson, a David Menzies, a you, a me, a Julian Assange, a Rosie Barton, a David Carr. Let's debate and let's challenge and let's criticize and be skeptical. But where you draw that line on what a journalist is crucially important, because the government's trying to make it where audiences aren't the ones that make that determination, police do. And I want to just play a clip, if I may, Ezra, here, because at the Global Conference for Media Freedom ended up becoming a big dud. Chrystia Freeland and Jeremy Hunt in the UK had such big hopes. And then the next year, it ended up being like this virtual conference that Botswana was hosting, and then it just disappeared. But I asked at that next one, François-Philippe Champagne, who was the Canadian delegate, what a journalist is and if it's government and what definition government uses. And this is the answer he gave.
Okay. Well, that's a very good question. And thank you for it. I don't think it is for any government to define who is a journalist, actually. I would leave it to journalists to define that themselves. I think our role is to make sure that, as we said today, we have seen a number of trends against media freedom around the world. We heard from our colleagues in Belarus today who have been harassed, who have been facing violence, and have been seeing more and more restrictions on media freedom. One other aspect which is of concern to me, and I mentioned that before, it's the kind of emerging technologies which are spreading misinformation and disinformation. So I would think that we need more than ever journalists around the world to speak up, to stand up, and to report information accurately so that citizens around the world can be properly informed. And that's the bedrock of our democracy.
And you notice the pivot to Belarus. Chrystia Freeland loves to do this. You talk about it. Well, let's talk about journalists in Congo. Let's talk about journalists in Iran. Let's talk about journalists in Belarus. Yeah. So I say, let's talk about journalists in Richmond Hill. So right there, you have Minister Champagne saying, no, it's not government that decides, but his government is the one that has effectively a podcast registry, that has state-subsidized media, a government that has all of these designations of qualified Canadian journalism organizations where they decide side, you can be a journalist and you can't be. And now you look at the liberal response to what happened to David, and it's all, well, he's not a real journalist, as though that excuses the conduct, first and foremost.
Yeah. Well, that's why I want to get this in the court. I spoke to a very senior lawyer this morning, very senior criminal lawyer, famous name, and he said that he watched the tape very carefully. He said, absolutely, they violated his rights. Absolutely, there's significant damages here. So all these know-nothings at the CBC and elsewhere poo-pooing what happened to David, I know a court will find it differently. And by the way, you got to keep hope alive, because we have had victories in the courts, which tells me there are still some people in Canada who believe in freedom for reporters. By the way, you didn't include in your list of censorship there that the CRTC is now requiring news companies like yours and mine to come up with codes of conduct that the government will approve or not. Could you imagine the chutzpah in this? The government will hold journalists to account rather than journalists being allowed to hold the government to account. I saw a CBC panel yesterday that said that David Menzies was harassing Chrystia Freeland by asking her questions by virtue of him being male. And there was a gender aspect. And so the arrest may have been reasonable because he was a man and she was a woman. That's the new ideological woke thinking at the CBC. They would never say that, by the way, if the woman in question were Danielle Smith or another conservative like that. Andrew, it falls to people like you and us and David Menzies to keep real journalism alive, that doesn't make excuses and say, oh, that's harassing, and doesn't excuse police brutality, because the regime media, the media party, they no longer believe in speaking truth to power. They no longer believe in scrumming powerful people, if it's people on the left who are being scrummed. So I'm looking forward to going to court. And as soon as our lawsuit is finalized, we'll publish it. And I'm happy to share it with you and happy to talk to you about it, or invite our lawyer, Sarah Miller, to go on your show to answer technical questions. It's an expensive thing to sue, because we get no government money. We're like you in that regard. So we do crowdfund it. And sometimes people say, oh, Ezra, you're always crowdfunding. Yeah. Because I feel like I'm fighting the whole world at the same time. We have 7 different lawsuits against Justin Trudeau right now, and this will be number 8. If people want to help out, they can go to standwithdavid.com. I don't know how much it's going to cost to sue the government. I don't think there's any chance it'll be less than $100,000. And I can tell you right now, the government is going to have 5 or 10 lawyers on the other side. They always do. I can tell you right now, they're going to spend $1 million of public money fighting against us. But I'm pretty sure we're going to win, and damn it, we have to try.
All right, Ezra Levant, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Andrew Lawton Show. Support the program by donating to True North at www.tnc.news.